Welcome back, Fire Tribe. November 4th, a quarter of the season down, and Sean Dyche is out here making sure no Manchester United fan leaves a barbershop happy. Not one.
Yes,
obviously,
sir.
In reference to the now being pretty famous Man U fan who cannot cut his hair until they get 5 wins. Well, Sean Dyche just set that record back to 1. So, you hate to see it.
One day.
I am Sean Feely.
Wow.
I guess I should say my last name, too. As always, Phil Charnley, Dave Farina. We're here, and I've tried something different. Find us on YouTube. Find us on YouTube /FiresideFPL. Listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. FiresideFPL. And if you are on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. Really appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. Check us out on our socials, Instagram, X. We post a lot of good stuff there. And if you like what you hear today, check our Patreon out, FiresideFPL. We drop more insights, chat with us, what have you. But boys, let's get into it. How you two doing today?
I'm good.
You
know, did you like the new intro there? I'm going to try and throw it all at the start this time.
I love
you. I think let's get it out of the way.
People might not know who we are.
Well, you know, something I'm starting to realize as we do the YouTube thing is people don't always watch a full 40-minute video. And when you throw that stuff at the end, they might not see it. So I want to make sure we get the message out there early. Get it to the people early. Get it to the people
early.
We're
trying to swindle them.
Well, I'm not swindling. I just want them to know. Maybe they don't know we have an Instagram. But if they don't know,
that's true.
How are they going to go follow it? Phil, are you okay? I know it was. It sounded like it was a good game, but a tough game for your boys today.
It's zero intensity out of the Madrid boys, so can't ask for much when they don't try. So just a tough, tough loss, but can't be too upset about it.
They've won 3, you said, so you know they're still in the draft.
Yeah, they're fine. It just sucks to see your team go out to a pretty important European night and not try that hard. So.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I never saw any of that with Leverkusen when the coach.
I know exactly. Win or lose, it's at least run. You make a couple million a day. So,
So today we mentioned it last week. I think we had mentioned we were going to do an AFCON episode. We're going to push that out a couple more weeks. It's just too early to try and speculate the 5 players you're going to want when you get those AFCON transfers. We just don't know enough yet. So we're going to do something in that same vein, but slightly different. So from game week 11, which is this upcoming week, to game week 16, which is the AFCON transfer week, you can kind of look at it as a prolonged wild card. And the strategy should be to use your next 5-week transfers and then make sure you have none left in game week 16. Because if you have any sitting around, you will not get that full 5 from the AFCON. So you need to use them and try and push out your second half of the year wild card as far as humanly possible to gain an advantage, right? I think all of us, you guys can tell me, but we agree that this is almost a half of a wild card chip in the way that you're going to get 10 players in 6 game weeks. You guys agree?
I agree with you.
Yes.
I definitely agree with you.
We're just so in agreement.
Sean doesn't need our help.
We agree.
But what we're doing today is we chose as a group 1 player that we love the most as a transfer each game week over the next 5 game weeks. We're going to walk through each one, talk about why we chose them, talk about why we like them. And yeah, we're going to go from there. I think it's going to be pretty straightforward, but it'll be good conversation. Of course, there's 10 million different ways you could plan this out and all the different combinations of players. This is who we went with. There's obviously a lot of interpretation and opinions to this. So, you know, you don't have to go with us. It's just who we like. This is who we like. And things will change with injuries and form.
Well said.
And just to be clear, when we recommend a guy each week, like the guy we recommend in game week 11, we're saying this is our favorite guy to buy this week, and you can hold this guy not only up till you get the AFCON transfers, but they also have, you know, decent enough fixtures or just a good enough player that we're confident enough in that you can keep them on your team long term, which helps you, like Sean said, push your wild card out farther in the second half of the season, you know, target those double game weeks whenever they happen to pop up.
Yes, thank you, Dave. I didn't mention that. That's exactly right. The whole point is every player we're picking, you may notice they're not the most out-of-the-box, you know, under-the-radar players. We're picking consistency. We want consistency because all the players we're choosing from game week 11 on, we want to keep past the AFCON, well past if we can, to ensure that we don't have to use our wild card until, you know, game week 25 or whatever it is. The later you can hold a wild card and still have a good team, the better off you're going to be to end the season. So thank you, Dave. That is absolutely the strategy.
Wow. Wow. That's wisdom.
Wow. All right.
Fireside wisdom.
All right. All right. We are going to be doing the review, though, mini league review. So, Phil, I want to send it over to you.
Thank you, Papa.
Get us going. Let me get the screen going for you real quick. Okay, you should be good to go.
It's up. It's up there.
What's
it's up there?
There
for them?
You didn't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Screen's up
there.
No,
so them. It's up there.
Up there. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, it's out in the world. We're down here.
I feel like I'm a broken record right now, but
I love it, though.
Once again, nothing has really changed at the top. We have Fireside Sean in first with 73 points this game week and 643 total. And second, right behind him, is Fireside Dave with 80 points this game week.
Yeah, I went down.
Pretty strong week and 641 total. And then I'm in third, 73 points this week and 623 in total. So we're all kind of just a captain, triple captain, one differential player pop off from kind of catching each other or jumping ahead. Much. So it's kind of fun. And then do have to shout out, who's this cat? The COD squad, Dan Zabit. You want to click into his team because he had 84 points, and that was the highest points of this mini league. And driven by Ndai, Minte, and Gehi, it looks like. Outside of obviously Holland being captain.
He copied my Minte.
Oh, no. Listen,
Linda. Listen, Linda. We actually know this kid.
This is he texted us in a group chat. Dave, you weren't in that chat. And he made sure to tell us to let you know that he was on Minte weeks ago. And he thinks you copied him.
Yeah.
Now, I tried to defend you. I said, no, Dave's been talking about it for a few weeks. He said, no, absolutely not. He said, absolutely not. He said he's been on it. He says you're copying him. You should...
Yeah,
well,
tell Dan. What'd you say to that?
Tell Dan that I don't think about you at all. Actually, that's mean. I do think about you sometimes, Dan. But
okay. All right. Well, on that note,
you still copied me.
If you have anything to say back to Dave, do it in the comments.
Yeah, Dan.
After liking the video,
leave a super rude comment. Get us kicked off.
But
YouTube.
No, kind of cool to see the midfield with Ndai and Minte there.
Yeah, that's a very nice midfield. Very underrated.
Interesting.
Or under the radar.
You're playing 4-3-3, so. And then if we want to pop up Dave's team here, because he is one of the Fireside crew members.
I can do that for you.
And Dave, I'll pass the baton to you to highlight what went well and what went bad.
What went well? Double Arsenal defense, Gabriel and Timber went well, as it like kind of usually does. Pope and Theo, Newcastle apparently forgot how to play defense recently, so that's not working. Minte, 9 points in the midfield, and then the rest of the damage came up front with Mateta with 9, Holland 26. I captained him, and that expensive forward that we were told that don't return, except when they do. Yorker has finally scored, so happy about that. But yeah, 80 points, pretty solid week. Got within 2 of Big Sean over here.
I know. Yeah. I use my wild card a lot earlier
coming
than you,
for you,
and it's every week, you know, I'm getting caught a little more.
I still have triple captain, free hit, and bench boost.
Yeah,
I only have free hit left. I used my triple captain game week 2, and I got like 36 from Holland, remember?
Yeah, I know. Wasn't that the first week?
Game it
week
was.
One. It might have been the game.
Against?
Game week.
Wolves,
yeah. And that
as long as it works. Doesn't matter when
A lot of Twitter trolls saying that Gyökeres, João Pedro, Caicedo, Rice don't return. So what the hell do we know?
All right, let's... Good review. Let's hop into the topics and transfers.
It's time for topics and transfers.
All right. So topics, no transfers this week. We're not doing a normal player pick, so we're not talking transfers as we normally do, but we will talk about a few topics here. Obviously, we mentioned it, but Liverpool does get that 1-0 victory against Real Madrid. So, you know, something that we were interested in before that game was, is Liverpool's defense getting right? And that's a big-time game. Phil, you watched it. Did the defense, I mean, just specifically, did Liverpool's defense look solid to you, or was it more of a Real Madrid not looking great on offense?
I think it was more Madrid not trying, or not trying, just not playing with intensity today, but tying this game into the last two EPL games. Mm-hmm. They are in an upward trend. Konate and Van Dijk looked great together. So, especially with their fixtures, which we will get to, I do think they're on the up and up, and you can probably count on them for clean sheets here upcoming right. game weeks.
All right, we're going to stick on the UCL topic. Arsenal played earlier. They easy win against Slavia Praha, 3-0. Saka with a PK goal. Marino with two goals. But the big news is that Yorkeresh wasn't even on the bench. It appears that injury that he took over the weekend that had him come out at halftime is slightly more serious than originally thought. In an interview before the game, Arteta said, "I am concerned because he hasn't had many muscular issues and he had to leave the pitch. He was feeling something, and that's obviously never a good sign." Reports are that he is undergoing more tests this week, probably out until after the November international window, and they hope to get him back November 23rd when they play Tottenham. All that being said, are we right back to where we were last year, where Moreno's a forward and no one knows if they should put him in or not? First question.
I honestly think this just opens the door to triple up on defenders or double defenders and then Saka or Rice.
That was going to be my next question. Does this positively affect Saka in the way that now he has to step up and be an even bigger part of the offense? Is he going to get more opportunities now that Gyökeres is not going to be, you know, bringing the ball in more often?
My opinion, no. I mean, even last game, he had 2-3 very clear chances with Gyökeres in the game, even 2 games ago as well. So I don't think it matters who he's playing with. He's a guy who's always going to create something.
Okay. Any opinion on that, Dave?
I don't think it changes much for... Obviously, you still want the defenders and Raya. If you were on Saka or Eze or Rice, I don't think Yorkeresh's absence means you need to sell them. So I don't think it has a huge effect on those guys. I want to point out that Martinelli is also going to be out till after the international break, they said. So I think it makes Leandro Trossard kind of interesting as a differential, because I think his minutes are probably basically guaranteed now, at least for the next game. I don't know. I was kind of considering him before, because I wanted a piece of Arsenal if I ever moved off Yorkeres. But yeah, I don't think it changes much for the midfielders you may have already had. But I think it also guarantees Trossard's minutes a little bit more.
Do you think it also guarantees Eze?
Yeah,
getting good 80 to 100.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
All of them. Yeah. Their minutes are a little bit more solidified now. But I felt like Trossard was probably the one that was the least guaranteed with Martinelli's presence. But now I feel like he's. If you really want a differential, he's there.
As he's got a lot of upside. Okay, last thing I wanted to mention, after that 1-0 loss for Tottenham against Chelsea this weekend, Van de Ven and Spence came off the field. You may have seen it. It was fairly big news. Thomas Frank went to, give him a high five. They both pretty much ignored him, and they made it pretty relevant that they were doing so. It sounds like both of them have already gone in, apologized to Frank, said they were just upset with the way the game went. Fair enough. But do we fully believe that is the first question? Because sometimes these little things turn into bigger things. Or do you think it was it? We're done. Move on. Let's not worry about it. Is it trouble in paradise, I think, is the question I'm starting to ask here. Because their offense has not been great.
Go for it, Dave.
I don't think so. Yeah, they haven't been great going forward yet. I don't think... We've talked about Frank's lineups up front. I don't know if he's figured out exactly who he wants in his front four. Yeah. But yeah, I think after they play a game this weekend, we're probably not going to talk about it anymore. That's just my opinion.
So we're not worried about the defenders. I mean, I'm not personally. I'm not worried about this, something happening, a rift. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, if you have Van de Ven, I don't think this... Yeah, same as like the Arsenal midfielders. I don't think you're moving to sell him now.
No. I mean, I think their only problem is... their game's coming up.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Ain't going to be that easy.
No. But yes, those were the only topics I had to cover. So we're done with that. We are now moving into the meat and potatoes of the episode.
Yes!
And this is an opportunity to use my chip strategies video.
Are you kidding me?
Time for FPL keys and chip strategies.
That's a good one, Sean.
Wait, that's a question. That's a good one. What chip are we talking about?
Well, listen, I said it's half a chip, and I really want an opportunity to use it. So it's half a chip. It's a 0.5 of a wild card.
What is?
Well, you get the AFCON, which isn't really a chip, but like it's kind of a chip.
Just putting you on the spot.
You get five. No, I understand. It's not a full chip, but I really wanted to use that, so I did it. I'm not going to get another opportunity probably until we get to the second half of the season, like wild cards. I mean, we could do another wild card episode, I suppose.
What if we did a strategy about me using triple captain for Haaland against Leeds?
Okay.
There'd be a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Not really. Just use him against Leeds. That's pretty much it.
I think that was the joke.
That's the episode. But yeah, that was the joke.
Oh.
leave me alone. I wanted to use it. Get off my back. Okay.
Here we go.
Get into it. We got a couple of visuals we're going to use today. If you are watching on YouTube, let us know what you think of them. We could do it going forward with some other episodes if you think it's interesting, if you like it. So just let us know. So starting with game week 11, and we are starting with a guy that we all like, and that is Daniel Munoz.
Who's he?
Wait, I gotta get this gun. Wait, I can get it. Hey, oh no. Wait.
Sean, this better be a good sound, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, there's no sound.
Got it.
It's a visual. I'm working on it. Listen, again, we're a free-flowing show here. We're figuring out live. People know this.
Free-flowing.
We're good. Daniel Munoz. Daniel Munoz. 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 I can't say it anymore.
Holy.
He's on the screen. That's all that matters, guys. He's on the screen, so let's talk about him. Game week 1 through 6, I'll start. Game week 1 through 6, Munoz, he was 17th in points. He only had 28. He was 16th in expected goals, but he was still first in expected assists. Surprisingly, but since game week 7, he's now 5th in points. He has 26. He's almost gotten to his total from the first 6 weeks. Of the guys in the top 5, he is 2nd in expected goals, only to Van de Ven, because Van de Ven just had a 2-goal game, so that makes sense. He has the 2nd most shots, most on target this season, plays every single minute pretty much, and it feels like he's kind of starting to heat up, you know, what we saw last season from him. Only one player has more touches in the opponent's box. I'll let you guys guess who you think it is.
One defender
has more touches in the opponent's box than Munoz does.
Wait.
Jurrien Timber.
Oh, that's the one. Jurrien Timber has the only player with more touches than Munoz in the opponent's box. Team's only given up 9 goals this season. That's 5th. The week 12 matchup, not super easy. It's Brighton.
Yeah.
Third home.
I think he's almost matchup proof because you're not playing him solely for the clean sheet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're hoping to get DEFCON. That's great. I think he's gotten it a couple times. Someone fact check me.
Three times.
And obviously you want that offensive return. I think he has 4 already. Is it 3 assists and 1 goal? I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about that, like someone like Bruno, who I deeply believe in, he also has pretty sure just a goal and 2 assists or 3 assists. So when I'm looking at Munoz, I'm not doing it for the clean sheets because their fixtures aren't the easiest for the next 8-9 weeks.
It's not bad.
It's up and down. Like Wolves away is great. Good. Burnley away, Leeds away. They have those 3 games away. But they're not at home.
Fulham's not an amazing offense.
No, but that's a hard field away. And then they have City mixed in. United at home can be.
It's we're certainly not picking him purely for
the clean sheets.
There are other players that we're going to talk about that we may be doing that with. He is not one of them.
But I do think he's getting to the point, and Crystal Palace as a team is getting to the point where they got to kind of at the end of the season last year, where if you don't get him soon, you're going to start missing out on returns and look back to them and be like, dang, I should have probably gotten Munoz because why wouldn't I? The eye test, the numbers, the underlying data supported that decision.
And just, I know, Dave, I will let you go. And I just wanted to mention that we mentioned the matchup with Brighton isn't a great matchup, but Brighton does give up 2 goals a game on average when they are away from home.
I was just going to say that.
So there's definitely a chance to get a goal. And on the flip side, they score 0.6 less goals away from home. So yeah, clean. And Brighton's not a team that scores a whole lot of goals in general. They tend to get one a game.
Get the sneaky one.
But, you know, they're away. They do. 0.6 is significantly worse when we're talking about two goals. So it's a sneaky good matchup, I think. It actually is. And Dave, it sounds like you agreed with me.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. That one is, I think the Man United matchup is even better. United also give up two goals per game on the road. They have not kept a clean sheet away from home. And only Burnley has a higher expected goals conceded on the road than Man United. So,
sounds right.
Like you said, like Phil said, you're not playing always for the clean sheets with him. I think he's the best attacking fullback from an FPL standpoint that there is. We've talked about how good Crystal Palace's offense is pretty much the entire season. They're right up there in all the attacking stats, you know, shots on target, shots in the box, big chances created. I think they are number one, if I'm not mistaken, in expected goals as a team. Or no, they're tied for fifth. They're number one in big chances created. So the schedule's really good, especially up until the AFCON starts. So I think you're going to get some attacking returns over the next 5 weeks. So
yeah.
Yeah, and to just really stick on Phil's point, he's 5.7 million. I think, I don't know what he ended last year. It was over six, I want to say.
I think it was like six or 6.1.
So just be aware. And he started higher this year than he did last year. Yeah. So just if he goes out and starts doing what he did last year, he could end like above 6.3. I could very realistically see that if he has a season like he did last year. You don't want to, at 5.7, super interesting. At 6.3, you're kind of cringing having to put that money down to get him when you probably have Gabriel in your lineup already.
Yeah.
So that's a very good point. And that's the whole point of this is, look, we plan on keeping this guy to game week 20, game week 21. I don't know. Like, keep him all season. I don't see a reason why you wouldn't, unless you're trying to get a shutout play from a week or two from a player. So
yeah, after Gabriel, I think he's the next most defender you can say is a must own at this point. Like, it's probably Munoz, Timber. Those are probably the next two guys you want as far as defenders go. And
frankly, I think he's more interesting to me than Timber is from an offensive perspective.
Yeah.
You just like Timber because he's on Arsenal, right?
The clean sheet aspect.
Right. I would rather have Daniel Munoz if I'm like, I'm looking for offense. Give me Munoz over Timber because, frankly, Gabriel's better at offense right now than Timber. Yeah. Timber's had, what, two or one? Definitely one, maybe two really like outstanding games.
He had that one game where he had like 20, like 23 points
and that's
or something.
Driving a lot of his offensive score. So some of that's smoke and mirrors, I think, from Timber. Munoz, I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. I think it's true underlying stats to back it up.
Yeah. And listen, guys like on Crystal Palace, Gehi, obviously Mateta, especially with Gyökeres' injury, are obviously extremely interesting for this run as well. And we'll probably all look into them at some point as well. But just for the sake of that top guy to transfer in this week, Munoz, I think, is the one that sticks out and can be most differential and like move you up in the ranks.
Yep, we agree. It's a guy you're trying to get in on early. All right, are we ready to move on to our game week 12 selection? Not a lot of surprise in this one, but let's move it on. We got Antoine Semenyo. Of course, we mentioned it at the start. We're not here trying to give you the sneakiest picks in the world. We're here trying to give you players that are going to consistently get you returns because we want them for the next 10 weeks or more. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we're doing here. I don't know if there's too much we have to dig into Antoine Semenyo. I have some notes here I wanted to mention. Second highest owned player in FPL, by the way, behind, of course, Haaland, but that's not surprising. What's crazy is he is 30%+ more owned than the next midfielder, which is Kudus. So I think Kudus is around 28-29% owned. He is over 60% owned. So it's a significant jump. Schedule for this team, really nice until game week 20. They get an Arsenal matchup. That's obviously going to be tough, but I mean, I think this team can score the ball on anyone. I know Arsenal, maybe not Arsenal, but I think they can score the ball on any other team in the EPL. They're fifth in goals for. They have 17. Would you guys ever worry about this offense? Maybe against Arsenal, but anyone else, are you worried that Bournemouth couldn't score a goal?
No, not really.
So that's knowing the fact that they don't even have a forward right now that they can rely on, and they're still a team that I'm like, offensively, I'm really in. into it.
I think Evan Nielsen coming back helps him. I think, well, Kroupy's obviously been great and scored. I think
Kroupy
Evan Nielsen
is not poopy.
He does.
I don't care what he did last
week. I think Evan Nielsen does some other things better than Kroupy has done, and I think that'll benefit Semenyo. But this one is about the schedule, because Bournemouth's schedule, Villa away isn't great, but after that, like Sean said, really all the way to like game week 22, I think Arsenal's really the only bad matchup. So this one is a lot about the schedule for Semenyo.
Yeah, I mean, he's 8.1 million already, and he's super owned, but that number is not going to go down. So like, this is definitely one, if you don't have him, you probably just want to get with the crowd, similar to Haaland. What he's got, 6 goals, 4 assists. He's third in points on the season, third most shots on target. To me, though, he's not overwhelming when it comes to stats. Like, you're not going to look at his stats and like, oh my God, this guy is insane. He's more well-rounded right now. Like, he's pretty good in a lot of different things versus being amazing at one thing. To me, that kind of goes with the fact that he's going to be consistent, but he's not going to get points every game. He's not Salah. I want to make that clear. Like, if you think you're getting the best midfielder, like you got the best midfielder last year, that's not who Semenyo is. He's not going to get points in every single game. You're going to have 2-game stretches where you get nothing. You just got to be okay with it, because over the course of the season, he is going to be a top-tier FPL asset. I don't think he has any points in his last 3 games.
His last two.
Last two, apologies. Okay, so that's probably why I said two, his last two. But they played Crystal Palace, we just talked about. Played Nottingham Forest, who's having a rough season, but look at them last season. That defense is not all that unchanged, so they can perform if they're feeling good. And then City, which is a team that's really getting in good form right now.
They've been better defensively since like the first 3 weeks.
That's a very tough 3-game stretch, so don't let that scare you away. I mean, a lot of people aren't scared away, obviously.
And to Dave's point, there were two plays where I think of Evan Nielsen's, the guy linking up with a midfield. He's finding Semenyo. And Kroupy kind of wasted the chance, so
he's not poopy.
But those are like the key moments and how you get goals against a City or an Arsenal.
Brother, this guy stinks.
You can say it, Phil. If you don't like Kroupy, just say it.
I texted you guys when it happened. I was like, he just needed to turn and pass it to Semenyo, and I would trust him right now over most players. So like, it's those things where he's still in the danger areas,
danger
and I know
zone.
His like expected goal.
Don't copyright me.
Involvement is low in these games, but I still saw 2-3 chances where it's like, dang, that's one pass away from him getting a really clear chance. So he's still there in the danger zone, and I think he's going to be fine going forward.
Yeah, the schedule, you know, this is a week 12 pickup. From week 12 on, he gets West Ham, Sunderland, Everton, Chelsea, United, Burnley, Brentford, Chelsea again. All of those teams are outside the top 7 for goals against, so they're not great defensively, and 4 of those teams are in the bottom 7.
Yep.
So, like, these are not high-powered defenses. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for Semenyo to get goals here. But like I said, I don't think he's not going to blow us away with stats. But he's just gonna
Know, man.
He's just going to be there. Was there anything else on him? I know, you know, again, there's not a whole lot to talk about a guy like this right now.
I just like how short he wears his shorts.
That's nice. I like that, Phil. I like that. Just paying a guy a compliment.
Yep.
I do want to say before we move on, because I know who we're talking about next for game week 13. Mm-hmm. If you are thinking about, I know Mo Salah has goals in his last 2 games. The last goal was a little bit lucky. But Liverpool's schedule does turn pretty amazing starting in game week 12. So I did want to mention Mo Salah. If you wanted to get back in on him, game week 12 or any of the couple of weeks after that would be a really good time, because their schedule is pretty awesome from that point forward. But that leads us into our selection for game week 13, which is his teammate.
Virgil van Dijk. I agree with you, though, Dave. You will have to give up Bruno, Saka, high expense players, which maybe isn't that bad. So
might be the time
going to get in there. But let's talk about the guy that we chose, which is Virgil van Dijk. Dave said it. The defense, this is 2 shutouts in a row, I believe, 2 clean sheets, the EPL match, and then the UCL game today. That defense is coming along, and they're not even playing Frimpong or Kirkus. So those purchases haven't panned out so well. Who could have told you that? Kirkus, I thought, was going to be good. Frimpong, I said, I don't know if it's going to work the way they want. It has not to this point. Yep. Hindsight's 20-20.
You know, $100 million striker they bought is working good. So is that $100 million midfielder they brought for Germany. But United doesn't know how to buy people. But keep going. Keep going.
Tell them how you really feel.
Just saying.
How you really feel. Yeah, so we do think, on Dave's point, like, you could probably slot Van Dijk in a game week 12 as well if you wanted to. I think for us, their next game is Man City, which is going to be very tough. I don't expect a shutout there. And then I want to see them against Forest, because if they get a shutout these last two and then Forest, and even if they get Man City, maybe you do go week 12. But I'd like to see them against another weaker team, get maybe a clean sheet, and then I'm fully in on it. I just need to see it a little more.
Wait, what are you saying?
I'm saying, like, you could get Virgil in game week 12 if you felt like it. This is game week 13 we're looking at him. Because they have a Forest matchup. But yeah. I still think I need to see Liverpool do it one more time against a weaker team. Because I don't expect them to do it against City. If they do, then by all means, game week 12, go for it.
Agreed.
Yeah. But, you know, I just need to see it because it's been bad this year. So I need to see some consistency happening.
And they have Sunderland and Leeds, which is...
Exactly.
Chef's kiss.
Exactly.
So I think, ultimately... Because I'm definitely going to get him. You're banking on at least 18 points in those 3 weeks.
You're banking on 3 shutouts.
And he's gone in 4.
It'd be tough, but you are.
4 games with DEFCON.
I think you're banking on 2 out of those 3 games.
Or 2 out of those. So 20 to 24 points.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Whatever the math is. But like, when I thought about it, it's like, what other player, like, let's say in the midfield, if Bruno got 20 points in 3 weeks?
You'd be pumped.
So I just feel so confident in Liverpool being able to do it. Hopefully it doesn't backfire. But I just feel like they have a really good chance, especially with how they're playing defensively right now, to get those multiple clean sheets out of the next 3-4 weeks. And I think that could really boost your rankings if you doubled up with Gabriel, Raya, Timber, like, your back line's just clean sheet.
Yeah.
Clean sheet machine. Is that a tongue twister?
No.
Clean sheet machine.
For
clean
some.
Clean sheet machine.
Yeah.
Clean sheet machine.
For some people. Well, if you say it 100 times, maybe.
Trending down here.
Clean sheet machine.
Phil, you're right. It's been a weird season, too, for them. Like we just said, like, they still haven't fully figured it out, but it seems to be kind of coming together. Slowly but surely. They've only given up 37 shots on target. That's the 7th highest. So, like, the defense is kind of doing the job for the most part. Like, they're not giving up a whole bunch of shots on net. But funny, they get West Ham in game week 13, another guy who we're picking up against West Ham, who's 14th in goals for. So shutout opportunity pretty high. Then they get Sunderland, you said, 11th in goals for, then Leeds, 17th in goals for. Then week 18, they get Wolves, 20th in goals for. And then they get Leeds again.
Both of those at home.
17th in goals for. So, like, they're playing bottom of the barrel teams coming up. And if they can't get a shutout, then they're broken.
And to your point, if you get him in game week 12, I mean, outside of Tottenham away, where maybe you rotate, depending how everything's going, like, that's... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 8 weeks where you don't even have to think twice about it.
Exactly.
Which always feels nice.
Exactly. Dave, anything else on him?
No.
Go ahead.
You guys nailed it. Dave's
approval.
Maybe the best center, one of the best two center backs in the league on the defending champions whose schedule is turning great.
Yeah. Approved. Also, Virgil's the guy we want, but Konate is also there, a little cheaper. Just to solve an option, you probably won't get the same potential for goals like you do with Virgil on corners. But listen, Konate is also a great choice if you have to save some money. So don't forget about him. It's really about getting one of those two specifically. Yeah. Okay. Game week 14. We're just scooting along. Our boy. Who are you looking at? Yeah. The matchup proof man, the rat himself. I don't have any other nicknames. Maybe we'll create some more. Bruno Fernandes. Is that how you say it, Phil?
Yeah.
Was that pretty close?
What's your Fernandes?
How to say it?
Bruno Fernandes.
That's how they say it. I think that's the Portuguese way, Phil, Spanish way. Yeah, see, I'm on top of things. I get it. I have a Spanish friend. It's fine.
Yeah.
8.9 million, 16.3% owned right now. Again, yeah, like I said, he's our boy. We still consider him matchup proof. We've been on him since game week one, all of us. We still think he needs to be rostered. Listen, we've said it 100 times, but he's missed 2 PKs. If he doesn't miss both those PKs, he's probably the highest owned midfielder, or at least right around Semenyo. Even if he doesn't miss one of them, he's probably the third highest owned midfielder. And just his career in PKs, they've said this before, it's 85.4%. For reference, Salah shoots at 88%. Salah, 85%.
Pretty that sure. Counts, and that counts the two misses.
Yeah, I was going to say, before that, it was 91.
It was like 91. Yeah.
And if you want even more, you know, for you Man U fans, if you need even more just reason to love him, that's better than Rooney ever did for Man U. That's better. That's the tide with Van Nistelrooy in terms of PK percentage. So guys, good at PKs. It's a weird season. It's just, it's been weird for him. One of them got touched by the ref. I just, listen, he also has a return, even a minimal return in all but only 4 games.
I think the other thing is, excluding the PKs, is he has 3 assists that ended up hitting the post. Goalies turn into prime Peter Cech. And when he's putting it top bins or has a one-on-one, I mean, he could have easily had 2 against Brighton. So, like, I've watched pretty much every single United game.
Unfortunately, so
have
I.
And it's so frustrating to see him be involved in absolutely everything the team does, even in the box, in the 6 PKs, saves, and he's just not getting the returns. But I don't think that can go on all season. And why are we looking at him for game week 14?
West Ham again, isn't it? I think pretty much almost all the players we pick at West Ham in the week we pick them.
But also then they have Wolves.
No.
And then in 19, 20, and 21, yeah, we talked about this being a guy that can go for the next 8-10 weeks. They have Wolves, Leeds, and Burnley back.
Yeah, and I don't know if it matters who he plays. I think he's always has an opportunity for points. Dave, I have some stats that I think are funny, but I want you to go because this is your boy. This is your team.
Yeah.
So I want you to give us a rundown.
I feel like we've been talking about him forever, and he hasn't had that like massive game yet. And maybe you're a little bit frustrated if you have him because you want a little bit more. But he still has 8, 4, and 5 the last 3 weeks. He has underperformed his XFPL by 15 points, which is far and away the most for any midfielder.
Significantly more.
He's right up there with Semenyo, Salah, and Mbeumo and all the important categories among midfielders. So the data, you know, lines up with what we're talking about when we watch the game. United are also, I believe, second now behind Liverpool in expected goals as a team. And like we just said, they have a really good schedule. So I would take him over Saka at this point, pretty clearly.
That's what I was going to say.
He's also, because I know United are going to lose, Brian Mbeumo for AFCON.
Of course.
For whatever reason.
Yeah, Cameroon, right? Is it Cameroon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salah is going to be gone for AFCON. Mm-hmm. Sar, Endai. Mm-hmm. So there's some pretty important midfielders that you're not going to have. So especially if you have Mbeumo or Salah, you probably have enough money to get to Bruno. And this is 2 weeks before we get the AFCON transfers. Yeah. So this would be one I'd be looking at if you have a high price midfielder.
And just to really send this one home with those stats you mentioned, Dave, he is second in expected goals, ninth in expected assists, but he's number 1 in attempted assists. He's converted 2 of his 28 attempted assists.
It's sickening to watch.
Horrible. That is horrible. It's not all his fault. Some of it's his team. He's also has two goals on 24 shots. Only Jacob Murphy rivals that number. No one else is even close to that number. You said 14 points on his FPL, man. Like, no one is even close to that, and that's the thing. Do you want a midfielder who is 3 points under their XFPL or 15 points over it, and you want to trust that guy to go forward for 10 weeks? Or do you want the guy that's underperforming by 15, and you have to assume, knowing how good he is, it's going to even out. Equilibrium's coming. It has to happen. It's just numbers. Numbers are numbers. I don't know what to say about it.
If you do get him, get ready to go on a roller coaster of emotions.
Well, that's true.
It's going to be rough, we promise you he will return for you at some point.
He's going to return.
Can't
keep happening.
Might be game week 37, but that's going to be a great game week because I'm going to still have him.
It's like 8 goals that week.
Yeah.
It's going to be
make up for every. I'm going to triple captain him.
Basically, every time I watch a Man U game having Bruno, it's just a lot of
no! God! God.
A lot of this.
No, God, it's please, no, 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 no.
All game. It's the whole thing. That's all it is.
And then 16 texts from me saying, what the?
Basically.
And Dave trying to, Dave just trying not to jump out a window because he cares more about the actual team than the game. But listen, that's his own problem. All right. Last one, week 15, we made it. Finally, somebody who's a little slightly more off the radar, but very surprisingly off the radar, because I don't think any of us thought this was going to be the case at this point in the season. Let's move to Yasko Gvardiol.
Fine.
There's not a lot to say. I mean, there's not a lot to say. He was the number one defender in 2024 to end the season. He's been bad. The team hasn't been that bad. He's missed four games, I believe, out of his 10. So he's obviously not playing as much as other defenders. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. O'Reilly's going to be the conversation. He's kind of having a bit of a breakout season. Would you call it tentatively breakout season?
Yeah. He's the new Rico Lewis.
He's the new Rico Lewis. I think he might be a little better. We'll see. Rico Lewis had a nice run like this too. But again, what are we here for? What are we having this conversation for? Consistency. I don't know if O'Reilly is consistent yet. We know what Yasko did last season over the course of an entire season. We saw the consistency. We know he's capable of doing it. Game week 15 to 19, they don't have to play one top five offense, and there's a few bottom dwellers in terms of game goals for, right? So defensively, like Man City, you probably want to have someone, if not Ruben Diaz, obviously O'Reilly we just talked about, but we like Gvardiol. That's our guy. Last season, he averaged 0.12 expected goals and 0.06 expected assists per game over the course of that season. So far in a season that's been pretty bad, he's 0.04 expected goals. That's not great. He's above his expected assist numbers. He's at 0.07 expected assists per game right now in a season that's much worse than last season. So he hasn't been that bad. I want to know what you guys say, because obviously, we chose this guy. We agree on this guy. I think this is one, unlike the rest, where we kind of have to explain ourselves.
Yeah. This one is...
We do. I think we do. I think we believe in him for a reason, but we need to tell the people why we believe in him.
This one is a schedule, which you already talked about.
Yeah.
And a team defense thing for me. I don't think many people would guess, but if you look for the whole season, City are tied for the second fewest goals conceded. They're tied for the second best expected goals conceded. They had a couple rough games in game week 2 and 3. And so those numbers are even better if you start in game week 4. They've only given up 4 goals in their last 7 games. They're pretty much second behind Arsenal in XG con expected clean sheets. So it's a team defense thing for me, which is why you said we also like O'Reilly and Ruben Diaz. But going with Gvardiol, since he was, like you said, best defender last year, and he's pretty low owned. I think he's what, 5.3% owned at the moment.
He's the differential.
And hopefully their next two matchups are Liverpool and Newcastle. That'll keep his ownership down for a couple of weeks.
Yep.
I would expect it'll start to go up around like game week 14, 15, but I don't think it's going to be up around, you know, 15, 20% by that point. So I think he'll still be a differential come game week 15.
And we're picking him up for that Sunderland home game. I think Sunderland is 13th at the moment in goals for. I expect that to go down over the next few weeks. I think they've had a really hot start to the season. I don't know if they're that good. So they may be, you know, 14th, 15th in goals for at that point. So not a great offense. So that's you know, another big reason we're picking him up. And then that's the week before you get your AFCON transfers. So this is the week of all the weeks. This is the one where you can take a little bit more of a shot at a player, because you know you're getting 5 transfers the next week. To if you have to make up for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, go ahead. You didn't. Oh, Dave.
No.
So that's Phil, all. I didn't let you talk on this one. Anything?
No, I was just going to say, like, outside of Crystal Palace game week 16, you're pretty much good for 6-7 weeks with trusting a City defense to get you a shutout.
Yeah, City's and on the rise.
And someone like Gvardiol, we know, can be dangerous on threat pieces. Set pieces. I just think he's a fun differential guy to potentially have on a team that's getting better and better defensively to what you guys talked about. But yeah, again, I'll just keep an eye out for that game week 16 against Crystal Palace. But besides that, again, you're kind of set and forget for
absolutely
4 or 5 weeks, which is always nice. Makes you stress less.
Absolutely. Episode went a little long today, but we did it. We made it. We're here.
Yeah.
That was good. Let us know out there if you are watching on YouTube, if you're on Spotify. Obviously, you don't have to let us know. But if you're watching on YouTube, let us know if you like those visuals, if you're interested in something like that going forward. You know, we'll try and do our best to get some more fun things going on the show. And I did everything in the intro. So with that, see ya.
Bye.